Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. You are listening to Interfaith Sunday Services on Greater Good Ministries Radio. Every week, we broadcast Sunday services at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Central Time, for all our global listeners. Our metaphysical ministers bring interfaith messages of enlightenment and upliftment, specifically available to all those who are open to hear the word of God, the Creator. We welcome you with an open heart and warmest blessings.
Good morning. And welcome to the Golden Age Light Giver Message Program, sponsored by the Light Givers International Association. My name is Lynn Hoft, and I will be one of your hostess this morning, and the other will be B. Delorier, and I think we probably have some other people on the line. I know there's one other person right here. Do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Vivian.
And B?
Hi, this is B. Delosier.
Great. So what we're going to do today is we're going to discuss the Golden Age Light Giver Message number 7. And if you are on our mailing list, you received a copy of the complete set of Golden Age Light Giver messages when you signed up to be in the on the mailing list. However, if you can't remember where those are, which would be my issue, probably every month I send out a monthly notice of the events that the Light Givers are sponsoring on the Blog Talk programs, and I also attach that list of Golden Age messages, just in case. You don't ever have to open it if you don't need it, but it is there. So if you did get a monthly message from us, it is right there at the top of the message. You can download it. It's a PDF file. And then there's probably one other thing before we get going with our discussion here, and that is that if you want to be on our mailing list, the easiest thing to do is go to our website, thelightgivers.org, and I think it's givers with an S, and on every page, generally, in the right-hand column, there is an opportunity for you to sign up for more information and to sign up to be on our newsletter. And once you sign up there, then you automatically get those messages that we send out monthly for the general. And then once in a while, we have something special, and we send out special information about that. Okay. So, B, do you want to get us rolling on our Light Giver call this morning?
Absolutely. I would love to. Thank you. I'd like to read the introduction, if you don't mind, with the Light Giver, Golden Age Light Giver message number 7. And it reads, "We are the Light Givers. Today we will speak of emotions and their purpose. For many, the existence of emotions is a natural fact. This means they expect to respond to life's issues and circumstances emotionally. They accept the fact that everything that occurs around them and to them will result in emotions. Likewise, they are seldom surprised when others react similarly. But what is unexamined is why humans are vested with emotions. What roles do emotions play in life, and even more specifically, how they are related to the spiritual journeys on which we all are. So that is going to be the basis of our topic today in light, Golden Age Light Giver message number 7.
You've read this. Vivian and I have a business called Back to Brilliance, and we've been doing this for over 20 years, and we teach people how to follow their own inner brilliance, which is the core of who we all are. And one of the keys that we work with in that program is the, we call it feelings as a compass, which is using your feelings as a compass, that your emotions, your feelings serve you as a compass. So I was kind of struck by what it said in this first paragraph, how emotions are related to our spiritual journeys. And I think what we're going to see here is that there is one direction that the article is going to take us, and that we can supplement that with the understanding that we've been given about feelings as a compass. Viv, do you have any comments you'd like to speak to on that?
Well, I just noted in the paragraph after B, the one she read, that it says, emotions are nothing but energy expressions. I think in life we take our emotions so seriously, and it's good that we are aware of them, but if we don't like them or if they're difficult, we tend to press them down, put them in a box, and, you know, it's like people who try to be neutral or not get angry, and they press it down and press it down and press it down until it is an explosion. And I like the fact that emotions are nothing but energy expressions. It almost gives permission for people to be really who they are, and the journey is really figuring out how to manage our emotions and not have difficulties with them, particularly in relationships. But I like the fact that they are energy. And I know it says the first and most obvious reason for them is the protection of the human body. And I know with little kids who run out into the street, you know, the parent in no uncertain terms has an emotion and it's conveyed to the kid. And every time we have a very strong emotion, it attaches to the brain so that we remember it. So, of course, for the preservation of all of us, if we're in driving and something crazy happens and we kind of go into our emotional fear and shock, it's a memory that we keep so we can be on the lookout to be safe again after that. So it's kind of interesting, I think, the combination of helping us and the fact that we usually fear the bad ones. So it's getting accustomed to them and being okay with all of them.
Yeah, I guess a really good example of emotions being felt worldwide now is an incident that happened this Friday. Talk about emotions. I've been keeping the law enforcement officials in my heart and prayers due to the shooting at the elementary school in Newtown, Connecticut. Talk about emotions. The news was reporting emotion and how strong those emotions are. So actually this topic today, this message that Gregory brought forward is perfectly timely, because we all are feeling, anyone who's heard the news is certainly feeling emotions at this point in time.
I liked what it said in the third paragraph in the article in relationship to what you're just speaking to, B. And that is that they talk about towards the second part of the paragraph, whenever anger, sadness, grief, or hate is experienced, there's a sense of loss that prompts these emotions.
Absolutely.
There's a feeling that something's been violated or lost, or will be violated or lost, possibly permanently. And a person reacting with rage is demonstrating the energy of those strong feelings. And, you know, that was the second worst shooting incident we've had in our country. And I'm sure it has touched the heart of everyone because the senseless slaying of our innocence is
yes.
just too much to grasp. It just hurts to even think about it.
Yeah.
And you know, and that emotion, and I know your husband B was in the law enforcement.
Yes, he was state trooper. Yeah.
So I'm sure that you have special feelings for the men and women that serve their communities in those capacities, having to be the first people on the line in, first of all, providing safety, and secondly, providing care for the wounded and for their families. That must be just an extremely difficult job. And no matter how well trained you are, there are some things that will just leave a mark that we won't forget. So this incident, I think, is probably one of the biggest markers we've had to date as far as this kind of a gun tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you can't understand it, you can't explain it, and we know, Simeon and I were both educators most of our careers. I worked with kids K through 12, and really enjoyed, especially as a substitute teacher the last few years, working with K to 3 kids. They were really, they were a nice, fresh group to get in and work with. I had worked with middle school and junior high kids that were in jail. And
yeah, wow.
Switching back to these kids was just heaven. And I so much enjoyed their energy. And I absolutely know for myself that these little children that are here now incarnating on this planet are very special, unique, amazing souls. One of the words used is indigo, and another is the crystal. You've heard of the indigo children or the crystal children. These are well-researched, documented distinctions in patterns that have been identified since the 80s and even before. They called them indigos because of the color of the aura at birth.
Right.
And those kids have, and some of actually our generation of people are also indigos. And one of the things I know about the indigo people are they came in here to start a new wave. They brought in a new understanding of how society could be, how so many different things could be, various talents and strengths, and very, very advanced, very evolved from what has been. And these kids break down the old molds. So if you have indigo children, you know what I'm talking about. Because
right.
not only do they push the envelope on everything and question everything, but they also know what they're talking about. And, you know, it takes a lot of listening till you finally realize that, my God, they came in knowing this stuff already. They don't need to go learn it. They brought it here. All they have to do is stand in that truth.
Wow.
And so they take a lot of heat for that, but they are these, for the most part, I have found these exceptionally loving beings. Many of us have children who are indigo children. And then the newer children coming in, the crystal kids, these babies are highly evolved souls, and they're expressing the new energy of the new earth, which we are about to step into in the next couple of weeks, folks. So there is an energetic exchange that's happening right now. And that's why these little kids, I've spent some time with my sister's grandchildren and their little girls, and listening to them talk, they have the most amazing smiles, the most sparkling eyes. They are so engaging and so conversational, and it's just amazing who they are. Their light just pours off of them. They brought this tremendous love here to help love us through this transition time, is my belief. And I somehow do believe that there is a connection with who these children are and why this situation happened. We can look at a situation, a tragedy, like the shootings this last week, on many levels, you know, and there's just the first straight out, oh my God, horror of what is happening right in front of your eyes, and then you can go into the levels of it. But somehow, as a people, every one of the souls involved in that situation had a purpose, and their part of their purpose had to do with love, is my belief. And that love is the love that is going to bring us permanently into a fifth-dimensional world where there will no longer be a place for the dualities of war, of fighting, of extreme weaponry.
Pain, yeah.
You know, and that's a gift that they brought with them, too. So I just wanted to celebrate every one of those adults and children that passed for being that for all of us, because it's a tremendous gift on many levels.
Yeah. I notice here in the message, in message number 7, it says, in the higher domains, human emotions will be shown to be precursors of energetic relations and interdimensional experiences necessary to the continuity of immortality. And more importantly, yeah, the fuller manifestation of the Creator throughout these worlds in which one is privileged to serve. And that many teachers and masters have emphasized detachment or non-attachment. And that's a real deep concept for us to grasp, particularly in light of such a horrific tragedy. How does one become non-detached or non-attached? And the teachers, the paramedics, the firefighters, the law enforcement officers, all had to try to be non-attached to what they were working with. My God, they were dealing with babies.
Right.
That were shot 11 times. I mean, this this guy had a 222 or a 223 rifle. That's akin to, I mean, it's a hunting weapon. So how do you, how do you women think that these men and women were able to function and practice non-attachment? Because surely I feel that they had to.
See, this is Vivian. I think they're training. The mind is accustomed to routine, and training ingrains that in the mind. And so for these cases of extreme emergency and dire circumstances, the training, I think, has to click in. And then at some later point, and there was a policeman who was on the TV. He had tears. I mean, yeah. at some point of removal then, after you've done what you needed to do through your training, then the emotion comes to the fore. I mean, I think that's the only way these people can do what they do.
Yeah. I think that's wonderful, because that is, to me, that's exactly what they were doing, is they were putting aside their emotions so they can get their job done. Isn't that wonderful? Think about that a little bit. Isn't this, in essence, what the teachers and masters are emphasizing for us, in a way, is to put aside your attachment to a situation, do your job, do what you have to do, deal with it, and then deal with your human side? Because as humans, we have an emotional body. I mean, there's our physical self and the emotional body. At least that's the way I see it. Do either of you ladies agree with that?
Yes, Bea, this is Vivian again. I do agree with what you're saying, and I think part of it is, where are we focusing? You know, in the midst of what you need to do, you have to focus on your purpose in that situation. And then you go back and you let your entire self react or choose to process what has happened. And then as time goes on, at least on the spiritual journey, the deal is not to get stuck in anything, like in anger at this person who did the crime, or
yeah,
get stuck in grief that for those who have lost, and make it your whole life. Then you go back to your spiritual focus, which is to be more loving, to be more godlike, to let God enter us and express that, so that love rules. So that love.
Oh, I love that.
Hey, yeah, because that is the purpose, and I don't want to get stuck anywhere that separates me from love. I mean, you know. So it's quite a journey, this whole human experience.
Yes, it is, and I think this topic is just marvelous. You know, to read this and to fully grasp, you know, the content of this message that we're looking at. You know, it says further down here, where it says, with detachment and non-attachment, the emphasis is still on the object of attachment or detachment. When the attention is fully on being one with the Creator, detachment and non-attachment are not only unimportant, they are irrelevant.
I think that's probably one of the most important lines in this lesson.
Yeah.
Sitting here thinking about the third dimensional reality or world that we have been living in, and for hundreds of thousands of years as people on this planet Earth, and we have been conditioned and trained in a certain way to think and experience life as third-dimensional beings. And it kind of, the article kind of gets to that early on in the third paragraph. He's talking about the challenges during a fairly predestined period of time in the third-dimensional reality. And we have strong emotions and strong feelings, and a lot of that is related to the dimensionality that we're working in and how that dimensionality works.
Right.
And for me, who's really here to help this transition, it's become important for me as much as I can to understand how this puts, how this comes together. And so I've looked a lot at fifth dimensional beingness and what that is, so to know how that's going to be different from where we are right now. And when you live as a fifth dimensional being, you live totally in the now. You're fully present. You are in full communication with everyone around you. A knowing communication rather than a verbalized communication. And are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. And yep. The other thing is there is the elements of duality that exist in the third dimension of that create these hard, difficult feelings of sadness and stress and pain and suffering do not exist in the fifth-dimensional worlds and beyond, because they are not part of love in some respects. You could probably make an argument that they are part of love. In fact, that they lead people to love, and that's
lead people,
true in
right.
dimension.
Yeah.
But in the fifth dimension, there is only love, pure, vibrant love. People live in that and can have the potential to express everything that they are and to give all of that to life. And none of it's wasted, and that's probably a poor choice of words, but none of it's burned away, misused, or abused. It just doesn't happen in the fifth dimension, and I feel very strongly that it's critically important for us right now to start stepping into that fifth dimension and experiencing what it's like. On the one hand, when a crisis like this shooting of this past week occurs, gives us a lot of pause for thought, a pause for reflection, a pause for what is going on here.
Right.
And there's a tendency to focus on what's not working. Obviously, when someone, out of whatever reason, goes out and murders babies, little kids, elementary school children, and their teachers, that is so far out of the box, I mean, we cannot comprehend it. It's
yes.
horrifying. And we can put our attention on that, and we're going to go farther into the horror. But because clearly the big message is this doesn't work, you know?
Right.
What we've been doing as a people, as a society in this world doesn't work. And here's the worst of what could happen. You know, look at
and
this.
And it is. Yeah, it absolutely is. Innocent
and
babies, absolutely.
The lesson then is knowing that we are on the threshold of moving into fifth-dimensional beingness. And that what I have learned is the only way to either you can take the ride, you can go there, and you can go down into the mire, and you can wallow for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us do wallow a little. But you can also learn to shift. And for me, the shift is shift out of fear, shift out of horror, shift into love. And that shift into love piece is the piece that moves us into that fifth dimensional beingness. What is that going to be like? We're going to live in a world where this will never happen. Never again. It won't exist for us.
Right.
That's good to me.
Yeah. This reminds me of a post I saw on Facebook. It was called The 12 Symptoms of Spiritual Awakening. And there are 12 different points, and I know both of you would appreciate all 12 of them, but just to bring out a few that brought a smile to my face is frequent attacks of smiling. That's one of the symptoms of spiritual awakening.
That's great, Lee.
Yeah.
I get the biggest kick out of that. I said, yeah. But then it goes on to say things, an unmistakable ability to enjoy each moment, a tendency to think and act spontaneously rather than from fears based on past experience. So if any good comes out of what happened this past week, this horrific tragedy, maybe the good is love. Maybe that community all pulling together, maybe the law enforcement officers who worked on the job may individually themselves find a deeper sense of love, loyalty, and duty to their own family. Maybe the act of the community pulling more together in support of each other in love. The point I'm trying to make is that even in the face of something horrific, there's good that will come out of it. And that's my prayer, my wish. That's how I see it.
I was thinking just before you gave those points and stated what you did, I was thinking along the same lines. I think we need to give ourselves permission to feel.
Yeah.
We have to, because as I was talking about this with someone else last night and talking about something I had seen on the TV, I got very emotional. I could get emotional
sure.
right now if I talked about it. And so
yeah.
I think that depth of emotion that hits us is really a mirror of the absence of love. It hits so hard.
Yes.
And so, yes, then the next step is not to hate, but to bring forth that love from ourselves and to share it with others, to send prayers and love to the families, to do what you were saying, that wish was about, which is to have more love result from this incident.
Right.
And this
right.
is, and along that same line, I mentioned earlier when we were starting that Viv and I had worked with, do work with the Back to Brilliance work, and that one of the keys to understanding how brilliance works for us in our lives is to understand feelings as a compass. Our feelings, each one of us, has this package of feelings, and they are the GPS that is guiding us through our lives in the sense that paying attention to your feelings, and you can tell when you're getting derailed. You know, we all have that register within us that tells us when we're taking the ride, when we're going too far. And sometimes you can't turn around when you're in that point. But
right.
you can slow down. if you're paying attention and you get into your brilliance, which it takes being aware of your brilliance, by the way, to recognize that your feelings are showing you your compass is pointing south and you're, you know, headed for rough waters.
Yeah.
That you can take some deep breaths. You can take a break. You can take some time off. You can talk to some friends. Whatever it takes to get your attention shifted from what is causing those feelings. And I'm not saying avoid them or anything like that. What I'm saying is recognize and use them to point you in a better direction. That's how they're a compass. You know, we know what our good, positive, healthy feelings are like. We all have them when we're feeling happy and joyful. You know, those days you get up and it's just a beautiful day.
Yeah.
That's when your feelings compass is pointing straight up and you're riding high. And we all know what that feels like. And by recognizing that our feelings are a compass for us, we can use that knowledge to shift, sometimes at least to slow down, to move back. Sometimes a situation like this may take days or weeks or longer to recover from. But one day at a time, you do what you can do to shift to love. And you'll get there.
You know, it's interesting, but one of my shift things that I like to do when I get a little emotionally out of balance, and I mean, we're humans, this is why we're here to do, you know, is to work on these issues. I don't want to call them problems, they're issues. And my favorite is to go to the beach and power up with that negative ionized air. That action of the surf fills that whole atmosphere with negative ions. Similar to when I use my salt lamps, it gives me that same sense of calm and peace and empowerment. That's just my personal thought. But there are many other ways, I mean, that we can use in the physical to shift, to focus. Listening to classical music, or if you prefer, some pretty loud rock music, if that's, you know, your thing. But the essence of love, of light, and of sound are all here for us to use, to work through shifting our focus. And to me, that's what being an energy worker or a light giver is about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I also think, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in, with regarding again to the shootings this week, to get caught up into the horror of the experience and to forget to really look at who each one of these individuals is as a spiritual being.
Right.
I mean, they are all light beings.
Absolutely.
Some of those kids and teachers absolutely blaze the light. They are
the principal, absolutely.
Some of the most vibrant light workers we have on the planet.
Yeah.
And truly, they will be missed, but look at what they are helping us transform into by having endured this experience. To me, their sacrifice, if you want to call it that, those are the terms that we use, but
right.
Their willingness to put a spotlight on behavior that we all know is totally unconscionable. I think on some level most of us know we're really done with this stuff. You know?
Boy.
It's time for this to stop. and what's it going to take, and then let's do it.
You know, this is, a perfect opportunity if you ladies would like to take a short music break and a station identification. Would that be okay with you gals?
Perfect.
Great. I have this wonderful tune that I'd love to play, and it's appropriate for our discussion right now. So we'll be right back in about 3 minutes after this short music break, a creative music break, here on GGM Radio and a short station ID, and we'll be right back with the Light Givers Sunday Service. Listening to the Light Givers Sunday Service and Worldwide Source Nation Celebration on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, back to today's program. All righty, we're back. What did you guys think of that song?
It
was a good song, B.
Yeah, that is Rich Price, and the song is called Love Is All.
That's the message.
And that's the message, exactly. In the face of anything that can happen to us here in the physical plane, if we have love, we'll be okay.
Yes, yes. No matter what.
Exactly. And I believe that's what Rich was saying in that song. See that your soul is filled with love and you'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
I was just thinking about I don't know how appropriate it is to bring all this stuff up, but I think the knowing that you will be okay when you move into love is critically important. And I also think it's good to know that a lot of the patterns and habits that we go to before we go to the love are actually old mental part of our computer thinking, stuff we've been taught, stuff we've been conditioned to believe about, you know, all the ain't it awful stuff.
Yeah.
All of these ideas that are conditioning us to first go to the worst case scenario. And it's time to learn to go to love first. And don't leave it. Stay there.
Don't look back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
because
move forward, don't look back.
We're in a time of clearing and healing on all levels. All levels of existence. And staying in love is the simplest way to go.
Well, I agree with that for sure, and I think that's exactly the unwritten message that comes through in message number 7. That's what it's all about. It's about love. It's about love of self, love of others, love of the distasteful. In a situation like this, where this was this horrendous shooting, and that's a prime example because of it just happening, it is giving us a chance to express our love and not the hatred for the perpetrator. I mean, they've been calling this young man horrible names, the devil, evil incarnate, and yes, that was his contract. I'm sorry to bring that up, but that was his contract. He offered to do this on some level to give us the opportunity to express more love, more gratitude for what we have in our life, more acceptance of loving one another despite our differences. I just feel that instead of, I'm not saying that, oh yeah, everything this kid did was fine. No. I don't mean that. I just mean that it's a lesson in the expression of love. Just my humble opinion.
I think you're right on, B. I think that's it exactly. That's the, that's the big message right now.
Yeah.
I think on all levels and whatever is happening in the world that we live in, it's all for love. There was a song, I think, about that. It's all for love. Do it all. Anyway, that's the point. That's the point. And all of the people involved are the players. They all contracted, came here, and did their part so that we can all be uplifted in spirit. And actually in physical too right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is a new new era.
Yes,
it
is. I'm
going to go ahead and do the World Source of Nation ceremony. We have a recording of one of Gregory's World Source of Nation ceremonies, and so we're going to play that, and then when that ends, that will be the end of the call. We won't be coming back on for any conversation. So,
all righty.
This might be a little messy getting started. I had some problems getting this thing to work, but let me turn on my sound.
Excellent.
And then I'll turn on the... Okay, here we go.
All righty.
But I'm really trying to say thank you.
No, that's great. Thank you. Okay, we... And what I'm seeing is, I don't know if any of you are doing this, it seems I hadn't really thought that much about it, even put my attention on it, but I'm beginning to see inwardly a whole lot of beings are assembling, just assembling. I can't say where they're assembling. They certainly are not on the Veterans Field where the Philadelphia football teams play, but there are a lot of beings assembling. I don't know, is anybody else getting that picture, just all of a sudden becoming aware that there's all these other little pinpricks of consciousness that are starting to show up? Well?
The picture I'm getting is a lot of beings assembling in front of a giant source nation model.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, that picture just started to form me, which was kind of letting me know that our discussion of these, of at least lesson one, has had come to an end. So knowing that we are now beginning the First Nation ceremony, and I will ask you to use some visualizations, but if you don't get the picture that I'm describing, and you get some other picture, that's fine. If you don't get a picture at all, that's fine as well. All you have to do inwardly is just simply say, I know this is occurring. And what I'm beginning to see is in front of every single one of those beings, and also in the front of each of us, there, believe it or not, there's a small planet Earth that is forming. It's taking shape. It's in front of each of us. It's about the size, somewhere between the size of a orange and a volleyball. Yours might be larger. Yours might be smaller. Size doesn't matter. And now understanding that there are many individuals on this planet who have done all that they can possibly do as human beings to reach the highest aspect of consciousness that's available to them. That these are individuals who have beseeched their spiritual teachers, who have prayed to God, who have asked whoever it was that is at the head of their path to be relieved of the burden of being a human, who have asked that the gates of heaven be opened to them, who have asked that they be taken away from the binds of karma, who individuals who are completely unaware and will never know necessarily about the existence of the light giver work. individuals who know that there is a next step that for some reason it has not been granted to them. These are the individuals for whom the Light Giver work is now available. These are the individuals for whom the light that shines through this work is for. It is not to intentionally exclude others. There are many others on the planet who have excluded themselves from the light. The Light Giver work is not a rescue mission. It is to provide the support to those who are at that moment in their lives, who are at that moment in their spiritual evolution, where they are ready to ascend into a higher state. So with that in mind, then, we surround the planet Earth, and we ask the other beings who have assembled to allow the source energy that is within them to surround that planet of Earth, that version of the planet Earth which is before them, and allow that source energy, which is pure love, to fill the planet Earth and to seek out those souls who are at that point. Now, some of you may be getting pictures of a much larger planet. And what you will notice is, as soon as that said seek out, there were little sparks of light which would bright up, which lit up, little sparks all over the planet. These are the individuals for whom the work that we're about to do is for. Again, we're not intentionally excluding other individuals, but there are many individuals who are so attuned to the outer senses that this is not something that is for them. So now, with that source energy surrounding the planet, we know the following. One, we know that all inhibiting beliefs that these individuals have that are inhibiting their movement into a higher state of awareness, moving into their true spiritual identities, we know that all those inhibiting beliefs are now removed. So know in your heart that they're all gone. Now you'll notice that those little sparks of light, if you see them, they're getting a bit brighter. And if you're on this call now and the source of nation has not worked for you, you may begin to find yourself beginning to be lifted and to feel lighter. The second thing we know is that all beliefs that create inhibiting beliefs, we know that they are now removed. We know they're gone, both for the people on the planet and also for ourselves. The third thing that we know is that all inhibiting energy, dark energy, that is within our energy field, that is within the energy field, fields of all those on the planet, we know that that energy now is completely dissolved and it is replaced with divine healing light, and those sparks are getting even brighter. We know that all connections from others that are transporting dark energy to the energy fields, we know two things. One, that those connections are severed, and we also know that a shield has been calibrated around each one of those individuals, which is calibrated to resist the introduction of those kinds of negative, we'll call them, or dark energies. The next thing we know is that if there are any alien presences, any extraterrestrial presence, any foreign intelligences that are not for the entire spiritual purpose of each of those individuals, we know that they are now removed. We know they are removed. They are no longer there. And we know that portals have opened around each of those little worlds through which each of those alien presences is now transported, so that each can go on to higher states. And we insist and demand that any negative entity that exists there to interfere with the spiritual progress of senseless individuals, we command them that they are now removed and gone into a higher plane. And we know that the archangels in this reality, the archangels in that reality will hold them there. We know that there are many influences that are presenting themselves in the lives of these individuals from previous lifetimes. We know that those influences are now gone and removed. We know that every single lifetime now, that each of those individuals has experienced in this reality and other realities, we know that each of those lifetimes now is completely infused with Source. The circumstances have not changed, but the consciousness has changed. That we know. So we pause, we take a breath, we celebrate that all of that now is clear. We know that that is done. And so, for each individual, each of those sparks of light that desires to move into that higher state, that wants to move more deeply into and toward the heart of God, we now declare that they are fully ascended into that state. We declare that all karma from all previous lifetimes is now removed. And we see each of them being completely surrounded, lifted. You will notice these sparks of light if you see them. You will notice now that they're moving away from the planet Earth. And in my own vision, I'm seeing this band of bright white light into which each has now moved. And our hearts fill with love. And we bless them. And we give them inner instruction that they continue their own spiritual work and know that this process now has anointed them, ascended them, that they will continue to evolve spiritually. And so now we ourselves take a breath and relax. We allow each one of those planet Earth that presented themselves to us, if you did see them, if not, know they were there. We allow them to return to their natural form, which of course is the earth on which we stand. And we allow each of ourselves to move deeply into Source and to ask if there's any residue from the ceremony which has occurred that remains in our energy field. We ask that it be fully absorbed. Now, for those who are listening to this call and those who are on the call now, notice that you yourselves have become even more so brighter. That the light within you has been magnified. And that mentally what we can do for each other is simply know that we are living vehicles and fortresses of divine light. And just momentarily to simply say mentally, not out loud, to the world, to Source. Source, thank you. I bless you. And I thank you for our blessing, for your blessing. And then I ask each of you now to hold to receive the blessing of Source. And I want to thank you all for being on this call. It's really been a pleasure. I look forward to the next time.